with you this evening. If you would join us and turn with us over the book of Isaiah, chapter number 28, Isaiah 28. We'll stand for the honor and the reading the Word of God tonight, found in Isaiah 28. Not only do we go to church together, we're going to enjoy heaven together. We that are born again by the grace of God, heaven is our home. And thank God we're going to make it because He said we was. And I'm thankful for that hope and promise that lives inside of me tonight. The book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse number 9. We'll read two verses this evening and pull a phrase that I'm interested in. Here Isaiah is writing the great prophet. He's saying, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little." You may be seated tonight. Father, thank you for the good day. Pray now you let preaching be easy tonight. I'm a needy preacher. I pray, God, you'd help me to be a blessing to the people of God this evening. Thank you for our church, a good place we can gather together out of this old sin-sick world to worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you for the songs that's touched my heart tonight. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. If you have a pencil, I want you to underline this little statement tonight. And it's simply found in Isaiah 28 and verse number 10. For precept must be. Must be. I want to preach tonight on the Bible's must-be's, or the must-be's of the Bible. Many times the Bible is written and it's inserted these words, must be. In other words, there's no option about it. The Word of God is the end of the story. There is no explaining. He's God and He sets some things in order that not only must be, but hear me out, is going to be. And so this must be tonight. I want to say, first of all, we see here there is a must be of His book. The must be of His book. He said in verse 9, "Whom shall He teach knowledge? Whom shall He make to understand doctrine?" Doctrine is very important this evening. Doctrine is the teachings of Christ. In our contemporary culture, no longer do they use songbooks, but they use elevated screens with just words on the wall. No longer does it show the in-depth doctrines. It's just chants or phrases. But I want to remind you tonight, even in our songbook and through our Bible, doctrine is very important. And so therefore, he says, this is the way that you must be taught the Bible. This is the way that you must study the Bible. He said in verse 10, precept, that word simply means a command. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. There are no shortcuts of understanding the Scriptures of this book tonight. God said that we must study His Word. And here, the old prophet is telling us that the way we can obtain knowledge is line upon line and precept upon precept. In other words, not running to and fro, but staying within the text of the teachings of the Word of God. Timothy said something. I'd like to challenge you this evening. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 15. A lot of times I realize this text is mainly thrusted toward that pastor, that teacher, or preacher. But I want to challenge you as a Christian tonight and apply this in all of our lives. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says something about our Bible, says something about this book. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, Paul was preaching. He's preaching the church of Corinth, and he said, you know what? I could not preach and teach unto you with meat, but I could only cover the things that are of milk, because you are yet carnal. In other words, he said, you're not growing a lick and you're not studying your Bible. Let me tell you, we are in a generation today that we better realize that we believe what we believe because we know why we believe because we believe. We must study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Here it is, rightly dividing the Word of truth. There's been many, many religions built off one verse of our Bible. But we must take each text within its context and see what the Bible really teaches us. So God said there is a must be about His book. And then He said secondly in Luke 2 and 41, He said there is a must be about His business. Luke 2 and 41, a great passage of Scripture that I enjoy preaching from. We find Jesus here in the temple with His parents where they went to Jerusalem every year there at the feast of the Passover. And in Luke 2:41, the Bible said, now His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. You know, there's a lot of people walking supposing that Jesus is with them. But when they looked around and took an inventory, they couldn't find Him. But you know how they found Him? They went back to where they simply left Him. And tonight in our Christian walk of life, when a lot of times when we're walking, we better be sure that the Lord is still walking with us. Amen. And so He says they came to pass that after 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. And when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? In other words, she was blaming it upon her son that he didn't go with them. He said, Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And He said unto them, How is it that you sought me? And here's our phrase tonight. Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which He spake unto them. And He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Not only the must-be's of this book, but there's a must-be that God wrote about His business. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Can I tell you, when God was born in a lowly, when He was born as Christ in a lowly stable, it was the Father's business. When he walked through this old world, it was the Father's business. When he went up on the cross, it was the Father's business. I'm glad that God had us in mind with the Son. And Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. That reminds me tonight, we must be about the Father's business. Folks, this old world's very, very contemporary. This old world is not lasting. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. And Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. So here, these must-be's, we see there's a must-be about His book or our Bible. There's a must-be about His business. And I'm glad it is the Father's business. The church is the Father's business. And He's the great shepherd. And I'm glad He's got everything under control. You say, Brother Ken, the things going on in our day and our era, don't that trouble you? No, it don't really trouble me. It just proves to me that it's the Father's business. He's done wrote about it, and He's told us that it's coming. And I'm glad that the church is the blood-washed band tonight, protected under the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. So here, the must-be of our book, the must-be of His business. But I want you to look in Luke 5 and 36. There's a must-be about His bottles. Luke 5 and 36, these must-be's. Luke 5 and 36. He spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new maketh a rent, the place that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. No man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. Here's our phrase in 38. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Here Jesus was speaking to those of Judaism. They knew every tot and they knew every title, every tot, they knew every dot, they knew every S, they knew every C of the law. But what they could not comprehend was now this thing of grace. Jesus was coming to bring new wine, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And here these bottles were simply skins. And He said, when you put new wine in old bottles, it's the new wine will burst that old bottle. You know, I hear a lot of people saying, well, the new ideas and this and that, and we're just not going to change. Well, so were they. We must be open-minded to the Scripture, but yet not compromise. And so we must realize, in order to receive the new wine of the gospel of the glorious grace of God, we must be pliable and we must be adaptable. It's not law, but it is grace. And Jesus said, y'all can't handle what I've got to give you because you're not pliable enough. You're not ready to receive it. Can I tell you, anybody must be ready to accept Him before He comes inside. And so here I want you to notice this text verse in Luke 10 and 20. Jesus goes on and explains this in Luke 10 and verse number 20. He said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things, here it is, from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. He turned him unto his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." Here, the must-be's of the bottle. In other words, Jesus said that you must be adaptive to the gospel. You must be willing to receive what He's done for you on the cross. The Judaizers would not take the grace of God. They knew all about the law. They would not receive Him as Christ. But I want to tell you something. He was Christ. He was the Son of God. And He paid the price for you and for me. And I sure am glad I received the good news. And I sure am glad that it's still good news tonight. Jesus said the must-be's of the bottles. Then He said in Luke 24, there's a must-be's of His battles. Luke 24. There's a lot of folks thought they put Jesus on the cross. Let me tell you something. Jesus had to go to the cross. It was not an option for Him. He told the Father in the pre-councils before this old world was ever formed, "Father, I'll go." Aren't you glad God had a plan for you before you knew about Him? And that plan was His Son to die on a cross for everybody. Jesus died for everybody. The Bible said He paid a ransom for all. Luke 24. In verse number 1, the must-be's of His battle. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but He's risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee." Saying, here's our phrase, "The Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered His words. The must-be of His battle. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible said that Jesus there came as great drops of blood that came from His brow as He sweated out. There Jesus was hard-pressed about your sin and my sin. That Roman cross was one of the most awful deaths that any man could ever experience. They were put on the cross, and really what happened is they suffocated to death. There Jesus hung on the cross for us in that cruel death, not because they got the best of Him, but because He must die at Calvary. It ought to remind us now when a song is sung at Calvary, we ought to throw our hands up and say, "Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Thank you, Lord, for how good that You've been to me, that You took my place on that cross and You died for my sin. And since my faith and heart is turned towards You, You've given unto me eternal life." When we get to heaven, we're going to praise Him a long, long time for that cross. The must-be of His battle. He said, "I must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified." The must-be's of our Bible. Not only the must-be's of His battle, but there's the must-be's of our birth. You must be, is what He's saying. He said it's not an option. John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. Verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He must be born from his mother's fleshly womb first, and then he must be born again. Now, the wind bloweth where it listeth. In verse 8, now, I don't want you to forget that. But in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, here's our phrase, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Folks, it still takes the Spirit of God to convict sinners of their sin. You don't get saved just when you want to. You get saved when the Spirit of God deals with your heart and knocks on your heart. And so here we see there is no option about this birth, for Jesus said, you must be born again. Have you been born again? Has there ever been a time that you've trusted Christ as your Savior? Has there ever been a time that you know that the Spirit of God convicted you of who you were? And you realized and you knew that you needed the Savior. The Bible said there's no option. You must be born again. Here's a parallel verse that ties with this statement. Acts 4 and 12. On the must-be's of the birth. Acts 4 and 12. You say, preacher, why are you so dogmatic about Jesus? Because the Bible teaches me to be dogmatic about Jesus. Acts 4 and 12. Preacher, why do you preach against Muhammad and Buddha and Confucius? Why do you preach against all those men, John Smith? Because the Bible tells me to. For he said in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men. Here's our phrase, whereby we must be saved. It's not an option. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to heaven tonight. By Jesus and Jesus alone. Therefore, they must be of our birth. You know, good works won't get you there. Doing good won't get you there. You must be born again. You know, the certain woman this morning that I preached on, she pressed through the crowd and she touched the hem of his garment. She came as a certain woman, but she left as a daughter. Something happened in that transition. You know what happened? She realized who she was. And she realized that she needed him. And I'm going to tell you, it was an act of faith. That's the only way any of us are getting to heaven tonight, by grace through faith. And we're born again by the grace of God. The Spirit of God comes and lives in us. And so therefore Jesus said there is no option about the birth. You must be born again. Folks, just keep telling it. You must be. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be. Must be. It's not an option. You can't go to heaven unless you're saved. Must be. So the must-be's of our birth. Paul said something, got my attention, Acts 27. Another must be is about our burdens. Acts 27. 21. Renee's daddy that's in heaven tonight said something to me about 5 or 6 years ago, and I never forgot. He said, "Ken, I thought the older that I got in the Lord, the easier life would become. I felt like that the struggles and the burdens would be less." But he said, there's just no getting off place. Paul spoke about this on his last missionary journey in Acts 27. And Renee, when Papa said that, it reminded me of this text. Acts 27. And the Bible said in verse number 21, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me." He had told them not to leave and strike sail. He said he perceived something bad was going to happen. But you know the teaching, they believe the shipmaster more than the things of Paul. And he says, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me." You know, there's a lot of times people would have been a lot better place if they had listened to their man of God. "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not a loose from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer." I'd love to have Paul's attitude. "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul.'" Here's our phrase. "Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Well, preacher, what are you talking about, the burden? Paul was in the storm of his life. He said, "We must be going to this place." Can I tell you, in the counsel of God, the must-be's, me and you will never change the must-be's. All the instruction in the world, all the counselors in the world cannot override God's must-be. There's some must-be's in our life where we're going to find ourselves. But let me tell you something. You're not there alone. God knows where you are. And God's there with us. And I'm thankful for that tonight. If it was not for these must-be's of our life, we'd never know who our God really is. God's faithful. And He proves Himself to be faithful. And so here we find, I want to show you something now and close this sermon with more thought. Turn with me in 1 Peter 1 and 6. 1 Peter 1 and 6. The must-be's of the Bible. But I preached a message on this next thought. I've never preached on the must-be's, but I have preached on the need-be's. And here it is. 1 Peter 1, verse number 6. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." That's variegated colors. That's different experiences and trials. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." There's one time this phrase is mentioned in your Bible, need be. You see that tonight? If need be. It's mentioned one time. But these must-be's are mentioned 31 times in our Bible. So what's the parallel, preacher? Well, there are must-be's in our life that we're going to find ourselves very burdened and bothered. But don't you forget this tonight. Paul said, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." Paul wasn't looking at his storm. He was not looking at his crisis. You know who Paul was looking at? "I believe God." And that's where we all better get tonight in our lives. Believe God. that His Word is true, and He backs up His Word. Lastly tonight, not only the must-be's of our birth, of our burden, but the must-be's of our beyond. It's used again in Revelation 4 and verse number 1. Revelation chapter 3:14 is the Laodicean church, which I believe is the church age that we're living in. The power of the people, they had need of nothing. Jesus said, "You're lukewarm and it nauseates me." Matter of fact, we ought to be on shouting ground every day of our life, even in our circumstances. Thank you, God, how good you've been to me. This crowd made God sick. He puked. And so here, you'll notice in Revelation 4, after this, after what? After the church age. The rapture of the church. By the way, Jesus is still coming. All the old preachers used to preach it once a month. It ain't changed nothing. Jesus is still coming. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds with them. Thank God we go into heaven with Him one day. Must be's of our beyond. So the church is taken up. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was a trumpet talking with me. Didn't He say a trumpet was going to sound? And we getting out of here? He sure did. And then He says, I heard a trumpet talking with me which said, come up hither, and here's our phrase, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And all that in the Middle East is being set up because of the must be. All of these great battles and wars and rumors of wars, you know what's happened? God's plan is unfolding. And there's coming a day when Jesus is going to be king and victorious over this whole land. Jesus is coming. And He said it must be hereafter. I want to ask you something tonight. Where will you be in the hereafter? A lot of people got so many stakes, drove down so deep like they're going to stay here all their life. I heard a man sent me word the other day about a message I preached. You know what he said? He said, I don't agree with y'all's preacher down there. He said, was that right? He said, yeah. I said, well, I probably don't either. What did he say you don't agree with? He said that when you leave here, you can't take nothing with you. I said, you go back and tell him that's what the Bible says. You ain't taking nothing with you out of here but what's in your heart. The hereafter. There's a head in the game. A hell to shun. Now I'm glad Jesus saves. Now I'm glad He saved one last week. And I'm looking for those He'll save next week. Until then, I'm just going to look for Him and try to preach right and live right, do right. Be a part of the great family of God.